Hi everybody, and welcome to another episode of Sephra's Green and Greener Show, where we learn simpler steps to a more sustainable life. Today I am joined by none other than Pardita. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, and thank you so much for being here. Over to you, Pardita. I hope you're happy to be here.
I am extremely, extremely excited to be here, Sephra. I've been waiting for this, and it's a pleasure, absolute pleasure.
Okay, let's get right into it. Pardita, who is the founder of Break of Dawn. I want to know about Pardita. Who was Pardita before Break of Dawn? Can you tell us that?
I went into diamonds with my dad as soon as I finished Sophia's. It was something that he wanted help with. Mm-hmm. So though I wanted to get into the travel line because I'm obsessed with travel, I think my dad needed some help. So I kind of by accident got into my dad's business. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was a very different thing for me, but I loved doing it. So then I went to Belgium and I studied diamonds.
Wow.
And I came back and I started my own jewelry studio. So I did that right until, I stopped. I mean, I'm not even stopped actually, it's going on. So I've been doing it on the side, but it's taken a bit of a backseat, obviously. So that happened. And apart from that, I think life has just been about work. It's been about my boys. I've got two boys and now I have a new puppy. So I think, life was just that. It was just working, creating. And I've always been a creative person. I've never really honestly worked for anybody else. I really don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
So it always was, I had my studio and which was in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And where we had clients coming over. There were private showings, very exquisite diamond jewelry, which we still do.
Okay.
But again, very bespoke. Like the kind of person I am, it's not the regular run of the mill.
Yeah.
It was something very personal.
Okay.
So people trusted me. My sister still does it. And apart from that, I think all I did was take care of my boys, which was a joy. And I did a lot of running before Break of Dawn. It's
okay.
Kind of stopped right now because Break of Dawn took over.
Yeah.
But that and travel, reading and writing. That is, if you say Pardita, that's thing.
So now that you've given us, an insight about who Pardita was, moving into... What was your aha moment? Like when, what is Break of Dawn? When did that happen?
Yeah, so, honestly, people say, right, that you people in their 20s or 30s or whatever, you've already figured life out,
mm-hmm.
right? And then after that, you don't get into something completely different.
Right.
And a lot of people believe that. But for me, what happened, in this jewelry thing happened, but it felt like at one point, it felt like something's missing. And it kind of ate at me for a couple of years. And I felt there's something missing. I need to be creating something more.
Yeah.
And I talked to everybody about it. Like my sister, my mom and my dad. I'm like, there's something missing. I like what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel something is missing. And then I went on to this whole journey of what is my calling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was obsessive about it. Like I would read and I would... Because I'm a reader.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to all these inspirational talks. And I'm like at it. I'm like, I have to find my calling.
Yeah.
And then I came across this Oprah kind of, I think it was a book or it was something, and it said that you need to your calling will come when you're ready. Like if there's something you're meant to do, it will come to you. You could just be meant to raise boys. So why don't be obsessive?
Yeah.
Don't be so stressed. So I kind of just stopped. I was like, maybe I'm just meant to raise my boys. And the funny thing is, the minute I stopped trying to assess what my calling is, and Break of Dawn just happened. It was like a conversation with my brother on just simple things like running,
mm-hmm.
and hey, why don't you give up dairy?
Yeah.
And that's it.
Oh,
that conversation was the beginning of the seed of thought that, I need to make something for me.
Right.
Of course, it was not a business thought. It was more a self-sustaining thought that how am I going to sustain myself if I went this way?
Yeah.
But the moment was this, and it was, I still can't believe that it happened, where I was so, tortured almost in my thoughts, thinking, will life be over and I not find my calling? And then when it happened, I think it's a dream for me, honestly. It's an absolute dream.
That's so amazing, but it's so true. Like with a lot of people, some people, of course, they're like from day one, they're like, okay, this is my dream. This is my journey. I'm going to do this, achieve this. And then I'm an entrepreneur and then I have my business. But for some people, it can be as random as, oh, you meet someone and they're like, hey, why don't you do this? Try it. And you're like, oh my God, this is my passion. This is my life. This is my baby.
And also I feel that people who are okay to be open, right? In the sense, you don't say, I am going to be into jewelry. How can I change? I started Break of Dawn at 39.
Wow.
you're thinking your life is almost like half done in that sense, that work-wise, right. You've done so much. How are you now suddenly doing something completely which you don't even know about? Like, you know, I didn't know anything about, honestly, about veganism or anything till that. I've always been a vegetarian. Okay. So it didn't strike me. You know, this veganism didn't strike me as much when till my brother brought it up. Okay. Saying that, hey, just give it up. Maybe if you want to run and you want to feel better,
yeah.
Why don't you try it?
So when was this?
So I think it was again in 2000 and I think 15. I was running a lot at that time.
Yeah.
My brother is lactose intolerant. Okay. And he is a snooker player and he plays international snooker. So he was playing in London at that time and he is lactose intolerant. And he came back and we were just discussing about fitness, mm-hmm. at one point saying, hey, you know, like, I'm running, what are you doing? That kind of thing. And he said, hey, have you thought about giving up dairy? And I was like, why? And he's like, you know, try it. I have stopped because I'm intolerant.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel incredibly. And because I'm running, I feel a huge change. And I'm like, okay, dairy. I was never a butter cheese eater, even when I was vegetarian. I never ate ghee as well so much. I was always trying to lose weight. Full life, I've been trying to lose weight. So it was basically milk and dahi, which was a little, you know, I was skeptical that will I be able to manage, you know, without chai and all. But he said, try it. So, you know, honestly, I just stopped. Like, just cold blood. I just stopped and I said, I'm going to give this 6 months. I'm going to see how I feel. Of course, my fitness coach got a little bit of a heart attack because at that point, even though I was vegetarian, I was eating eggs for my running because he thought I wouldn't be able to endure marathons.
Right.
And when I told him I'm going vegan, he, you know, was like, oh my God, how are you going to sustain this? Yeah. But I'll tell you, I stopped it for 6 months. And after 6 months, I had a cup of coffee just to see the difference. And I couldn't bear it. I simply felt that entire coffee in my stomach for so many hours.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, so this is what I have been doing to myself.
Okay.
And I don't even like it anymore. I think, you know, so, and in that period, actually what happened was I tried a lot of Tetra Pak almond milk and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of got a little put off because I didn't like the taste. And I'm a milk lover. I used to love milk.
Yeah.
So I needed to drink milk. So that's when my brother is like, you love cooking. Why exactly would you go buy a Tetra Pak almond milk? Why would you not make it for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So that was day one when I started, when he told me stop. And then after 6 months of doing a little bit, I did a little oat milk. I did a little, not oat, I did a little soy milk, a little almond milk with my chai. I kind of went through without dairy for 6 months. But then I said, I like this lifestyle. I like this, but not the milk. I don't like this milk. And I want to make it for myself. So that was my first month of, like, in 2015.
Wow.
Towards the end of the year,
yeah.
I started making almond milk for myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. So you had your aha moment. You started making, I'm assuming, from your home.
Yes.
And so when did you decide, okay, today I'm making almond milk at home. Tomorrow it's break of dawn and I'm selling to people.
2015, mein, I was just doing it for myself. 2016, I was still doing it for me, but I was making a lot of it for myself and for my brother. And in that year, there was I have a lot of vegan, because in my running group, there were a couple of vegans. And I had somehow had a lot of vegan chef friends. And because my brother told somebody and I told someone I'm making milk for myself. And so I started sending a little samples to my friends saying, hey, I'm making almond milk, you know, try it if you want, you know. And they're like, nobody is making fresh almond milk and supplying. Nobody's doing it. Like, okay, you're getting Tetra Paks and all of that. And nobody's making this. What you're making, it's not, you know, no one's making it. And my brother told me that he has traveled across the entire world playing snooker and he's not had this level of almond milk anywhere.
Wow.
So he's like, this is something. You have stumbled upon something. I know it's purely for you, but have you given it a thought?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think this can be something since you've been talking, because I was talking to him too, right? That I need to find something. I'm feeling a little empty. I don't know what I'm doing. So in about, I think 2016 in the summer, I was sitting, I remember the scene so clearly. I was sitting in Baroda with my sister and my brother on the bed. All the kids were playing and we were sitting and they're like, Pradita, you got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you start, you know? And I was like, I think I'm going to do it. And that's it. I just started doing a lot of experiments because it was still going to be home, right? I don't know. I've got small kids. You know, I've got another work. I've got a studio of jewelry which I need to attend to, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing all of that. It's not like I'm going to wake up one day and, you know, stop everything, abandon everything. So I said, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start at home. So, but I did a lot of trials before I started. So Brick of Dawn was born in the sense my first delivery happened in 2017 in June.
So you put like almost a year and a half of like, if you could say R&D.
Also had to make sure that I have the stuff that I need. I needed to read up a lot. I need to see what's going on because I'm a stickler for perfection. If I don't like it, I won't be able to sell it. Making it for myself is still okay, but to have someone else drink it and it's food. So, you know, you don't want to make a mistake there. And I know that once I started, there would be, so like, you know what I did was I started off making all my flavor batches because I do so many flavors of almond milk, right?
Yeah.
So I made a lot of flavors seeing, okay, this works. And I did a lot of trial and error. So every day I would do something different just for me, for my friends and see, okay, this is working and this is not working. Then slowly figuring out the name and figuring, because everything, like there is glass bottles involved, there's, you know, packaging paper involved, whatever I needed to do what I'm doing. So I had to also put that all in place, budgeting for it. I'm not a person good with numbers. I'm like, I have a feeler for things.
Yeah.
So if my husband will say, do you even know how this is going to, what this is going to cost you? And I'm like, no, I don't know. And I never approach it as a business, honestly, because for me, it was more like, you know, what I went through in those transitioning years, I know people go through that. Like, you're not able to sustain because one, you don't have access to fresh, good stuff. And two, because what you're getting outside is not a testament to good taste, right? It's not tickling your taste buds. So if it's not going to make you feel happy that I'm having a vegan or a dairy-free milk, but it tastes horrible, we can't stick to it. I know you can't. So the idea was the taste needs to be priority. You know, of course, it's going to be healthy, but if the taste isn't, you know, perfect, people will not be able to stick. I would not be able to stick. So it was to help. Like, the aim was, I'm going to help people who want to transition or who are already vegans and are not liking what they're having, you know, and not only vegans, anybody for that matter, whoever wants to live a healthy lifestyle, maybe stop dairy for whatever reasons, they should have an alternate, which is one, extremely tasty, and two, also being delivered. My idea was delivery. That was a very big thing for me.
Right.
I'll make milk and I'll keep it in my house in Chembur. No one's going to come and take it, right? But for me, if my milk was delivered to my doorstep, I'm not going to slip. I will not go back to dairy no matter what.
True.
So it took a lot of R&D, research, thinking, planning, because everything is at home. A lot of help from my husband and everybody, because I had so many conversations with all my friends, family, whoever, saying this is what I feel like doing, you know. And that's how it all began, honestly.
That's amazing. And I think it's so beautiful that you had the support of so many people. I think a lot of people sometimes either they don't have that, or, you know, people are like, they take it for granted, you know. But it's so important to have like support of your friends and family and your runner friends. I think they must have gotten a lot of delicious free samples, but I'm sure they helped you perfect the sort of flavors.
All my friends would take it and, you know, they were like, okay, this is amazing, but, you know, maybe what about this flavor, can you do this? And the thing about help is my husband was the first person in the kitchen with me. I had no staff. Because I don't know where I'm going. So how am I supposed to have staff? What do I tell them? What am I doing, right? So my husband was working with me at 2 in the morning. We would make milk. We would deliver it at 5 ourselves. And then he would go to work. At least I got to sleep a little bit. I don't think he slept. The first 4 years were, I think, zero sleep for us, honestly.
Kudos and shout out to Padita's husband. So did someone give you the inspiration for the name Break of Dawn, or was it your brainchild?
The idea was, we started with milk, right? Mm-hmm. So when do you deliver milk? When does milk come to your doorstep? At the crack of dawn. Okay. And I wanted to deliver before people got out to work.
Yeah.
So my idea was, crack of dawn is like, I'm at the break of dawn is when I'm going to be delivering, or you're going to be getting anything that I deliver at that time in the morning. So, and it's also like a new beginning. It's also a new day, all of that. So all of that put together, I wanted it to mean something. I wanted it to feel delightful to people, right? And also, it's a significant thing that because the milk was made at 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. and then delivered to you at like 6, 7. There were people who told me, Pradita, I cannot deal with break of dawn timing. You're too early, you know, because we deliver so early in the morning. Yeah. But the idea was just that it's going to be, it's like a new beginning, a new day, and, you know, getting fresh milk at the break of dawn. So that's my thing for the name. That's how the name came about.
That's, I think it's a beautiful name and it's a great story. I just wanted to clarify one thing. You said you gave up milk. So did you then become vegan like properly from 2015 till today?
Yes.
Awesome. And can you tell us more about that? How has that journey been?
The 2015 in the middle of the year sometime, I gave up milk for about 6 months.
Yeah.
So till the end of the year, basically. Then I tried another. So at that time, I had only given up milk.
Okay.
I was still having eggs because of running,
right.
Which I was kind of not feeling good about. But because I'm running and I was like, okay, one battle at a time. Let me first stop the dairy and see. So at the end of the year, when I had that cup of coffee and I thought I don't like it, I stopped dairy immediately. And then what happened in Jan, I think, is one day, as usual, my husband was making my eggs because I had just come from a run and I couldn't bear the smell. I don't know what happened. And I'm telling you, I was eating it for a while and it never bothered me. I don't know what happened. So I'm like, this is not me anymore. He's like, you just had it yesterday. What is this? Why is the smell bothering you today? I said, I really don't know why, you know, but I can't. And I looked at it and I'm like, no. And I stopped. You know what? It was like complete cold turkey for me. I was completely, completely done. I was like, I can't do the eggs. I don't know how I'm going to figure out the alternative. It doesn't matter. I'll have like lots of tofu because I love tofu.
Yeah.
But I cannot bear the smell. And I could not already. I was not able to bear this, the look of milk and the smell of milk.
Good.
Because see, at home, it was only me who's vegan. It's not like my kids or my husband are, right? So stuff always was there. But I could not bear it.
Mm.
I don't know what happened. And honestly, it was... I know a lot of people come from, stop because of, you know, compassion and all of that.
Yeah.
I obviously stopped it for my fitness reasons. But post that, I think I started doing a lot more reading up about what it is about and the industry and the dairy industry and seeing all of that. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, I think I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
So then I was complete. So 2016 onwards, maybe I was like complete vegan till obviously today.
Same pinch, same. So did I. Even I also started in my journey in 2016. But yeah, I was eating everything possible. I was a hardcore non-vegetarian. So 3 times a day meat.
Yeah.
And then cold turkey. One day I'm like, oh no, I can't do this anymore. I'm vegan. So yeah, the same journey, like the shock of everyone because food is, I feel like it's too personal.
Yes.
And everyone takes it upon themselves. And plus I was 20 or 21. So my parents were like, she's following a fad. She does. I don't know what she's up to. Why is she doing all these things? And then I think that took quite some time to get them on board. But speaking of that, did you face any, maybe backlash is not the right word, but any like, you know, like opposition, like how was that?
Mostly coming from my own house, not my house, but my mom's house. Because as you said, right, people think it's a fad.
Yeah.
Honestly, people who don't know about it. And someone who's always had stuff, you suddenly go to mom's house and they're like, now she's not eating dahi, she's not eating this, she'll not eat paneer. So what are we supposed to feed you? And honestly, I'll tell you, when I used to go to my mom's house, I started carrying my tiffin. Because I realized that I'm not going to get my coffee, neither am I going to get food. Or if there is food, I didn't want to inconvenience someone else.
Right.
So what I would do is I would say, you don't worry about me. I can be, and I've been on a raw diet for almost a year once. So I'm very okay eating just fruits.
Right.
So the backlash was only mostly I guess you said it's not a backlash, but more like, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're vegetarians. It's not like we're having the non-vegetarian.
Right.
We're not really any of that. So what is the need? But I took some time to explain to them that, you know what, this is what I want to do. It makes me, and it made me feel very good.
Yeah.
So, you know, even till today, mom will say, if I put little ghee, what will happen to you? Because they know I'm not intolerant, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, if I put little ghee in your thing, what will happen? I said, nothing will happen to me, but I won't eat that.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that,
yeah.
You know. But apart from that, I think it was no real because I'm also I'm a loner that way. I don't really talk to too many people about myself.
Yeah.
So a lot of people may not even know I'm vegan or whatever. And mm-hmm. We don't eat out so much. As a family, we love eating at home a lot. We go out, but not that much.
Yeah.
So it was not that much of an issue for me, honestly, just to explain to my parents who just basically, at that age, how it is, right?
Yeah.
They don't really understand what people are doing. But today my mom is completely stopped milk because she's obsessed with the rose milk. And as parents, they have this thing of drinking milk in the night, drinking milk in the morning. But she's not, because she's like, this only milk I'm going to have. You send me my rose milk. I have stopped, I have become vegan. So she told me the other day when I went home, she's like, I'm vegan now. I was like, okay, mom. I mean, I'm very happy I can help you, because she's like, I cannot do without your milk.
Yeah.
So, I think it's just leading by example versus leading by force. Like telling somebody, like my kids also, I can't tell them that you better stop all of this.
Yeah.
But they see me, what I'm doing, and they love all the stuff. So slowly, it's just like by emulating me as to what I'm eating, and I show them the videos, I give them the awareness. But at the end of the day, it's a personal choice, which I will not force down anybody. But I will tell you that, I think this, or show them the right way. And of course, they love all the stuff, all the things that they're like obsessed with, like the mango nougat right now. They're having a jar a day. So they're like, oh, this is too good. So that way, I'm just slowly taking them away from all the dairy.
But I think you touched upon a very nice point that you have to lead by love and example, rather than by force. So, and what about your husband?
It was amazing that also my husband, of course, he's a non-vegetarian, but because he was living outside of home with friends, they ended up cooking a lot of vegetarian stuff, and they would eat non-veg only when they went out because they didn't know how to cook the non-vegetarian stuff. But when he met me, and because I was vegetarian, I mean, I don't know whether they did it for me or whether, but he went completely vegetarian for about 15 years. Anyways, when we're together or with the kids or in the house, there was no non-vegetarian allowed.
Yeah.
He could eat outside. And in the beginning, I was a bit of a, how can you eat this? I'm talking about non-vegetarian food.
Yeah.
Like, don't you feel this and don't you feel that? And I realized after a while that they're so used to it. They don't understand. I mean, I know that we can't, for me, it is like, can you look at the pig's eye? He's like, oh my God, she's gone mad, because they don't see it that way. They see it as a product, and I'm seeing it as a human, like an eye, like an animal's face or something. My husband actually figured that even though he did it for me probably, but when he used to have gut issues and all of that, and the minute he stopped, everything stopped. So I think internally even he realized that my body is not accepting it. Even though I'm born and brought up and raised on it.
Right.
Like how people become lactose intolerant even though they've had milk their whole life. So sometimes, of course the milk, the adulteration obviously is crazy today.
Yeah.
But I think when you realize that it's not helping your body and it's causing so much distress, you're going to anyway stop. It's just a sign from your body to you and you have to listen.
I mean, over 70% of the world is lactose intolerant. Like, we're not meant as a species only to consume it. And I know there'll be people constantly debating that, but we will link research papers in this, in the bio of this conversation. But yes, it's definitely, it's good to see people are moving in the right direction.
I'm really happy to see people weaning off babies off breast milk and going to almond milk, or babies not having dairy. Mothers don't want to give their children dairy from a very young age. I'm thrilled. Of course, I'm very sad when I hear that kids are lactose intolerant, they're getting allergies because of like hormonal issues, because that's very painful to hear. And but I'm saying it's happening because of the adulteration, about what is there in the milk. So, and parents are now realizing that instead of spending money going to doctors, why not we just put good food in your body? Because what you eat is what you are, right? What you're going to put in is going to show up on your face and show up on everywhere on your body. Why not focus on that a little bit?
You told us that you started Break of Dawn at the age of 39. So if you don't mind me asking, a little bit, like, do you think personally that you faced any challenges because you started a business like this at something so niche, right? Like almond milk manufacturing, and then of course your other products. But because of your age, do you think it impacted you positively, negatively? Anything you want to talk about? Or, inspire people, like, they should follow their calling.
Honestly, want to tell every single person who has not figured out what they want, or who are doing things which probably are not making them happy, I want to tell them that you can do anything even at 50.
Mm-hmm.
You can start something even at 50. right? You just need to follow your heart and your gut. And for me, honestly, I never felt there was any challenge in terms of age. I honestly felt like I was coming into my own. Like, you know, when you're in your, you know, 20s, you still feel you're still figuring life out. I felt I had gone through so much already in my life, you know, whether it's personally or with work and everything. I think it had made me ready for break of dawn by that age. Like then whatever came my way, like, because it is not easy. You know, it has not been easy. There's been a lot of tears and a lot of highs, was everything. But I think I was equipped to handle it because I was that age. You know, and I don't think anybody today should think, like, I tell my son this and he's 18 and trying to start figuring life out, you know, and we have these conversations with everybody, you know, that they should know what they want. And I'm like, no, it's okay. Let him experiment, right? Let him experiment today and see what really calls him. Because I'm telling you that if you do what you love, it is not work. It's like a dream journey. You know, of course, you're going to feel like you want to cry and you want to break things. Because you feel that because it's, you're so passionate about it and you love it so much that, you know, at the end of the day, again, you'll wake up the next day and do it because you love it so much. But you can't not, like, I didn't sleep for 5 years or 4 years. I don't think that if I didn't love what I was doing so much, I would have been able to sustain that kind of a, like, no sleep lifestyle, no attending weddings, no attending parties, no attending, because I used to work at night. Like, I'm making milk at night. I can't attend weddings. I can't attend functions or dinners because I'm in the kitchen making things.
So wait, for the first three or four years until you got your staff, I'm assuming, till that's 2021. So you're telling me for those 3 to 4 years, you did nothing in the evenings, like all days of the week?
I didn't do anything. Oh my God. Kids were ready to disown me. And I remember about 3 or 4 years into Break of Dawn, I took my first break, and I'll tell you how I even did it. I actually messaged all my clients and told them that, hi, you know, I really need to take a break and my kids are going to disown me. And and the thing is, you know, if I take a break, Sephra, I have to shut the kitchen.
Yeah, of course.
And it's milk. And people are now addicted to the milk. So my heart breaks thinking, what will they do? Then I'm thinking the kids are going to disown me. What do I do? So I messaged my clients and the response was incredible. Like every single person on that group told me, Pradita, for heaven's sake, this is what work you've been doing is unbelievable. For heaven's sake, take a break. But please tell us how we can we freeze the milk? Can you send us 15 bottles? And, you know, all those questions, like, what do we do? Tell us, give us a hack right now. But please go for your break. But I didn't take a break till then, because it meant shutting the kitchen and it meant the milk not going out the next day. And the way it happened, no, it started. I thought I'll have time to ease into Break of Dawn. I didn't get time. It went viral within 1 month. So I had no settling down time. So I didn't take a break.
So how did you, when did you get your first staff member, and when did you get more staff, let's say, to then start being a little bit on, like, happening on autopilot?
I worked for 4 years from home. And in that, what happened was, I had my cook who you saw me doing this every single day. First, she would go home at about 7, and then she saw me every morning. There are all these blenders kept there, and she's like, matlab bhabhi kya kar rahi hai, kuch samajh mein nahi aa raha, you know. And she knows I'm overworked. So she told me, ke aap kya bana rahe hai, mujhe bhi sikhaiye. I was like, tu banayegi mere saath? So she's like, I said, but you have to work till very late because I make milk and looks crazy hours. He's like, haan, main banaungi, mereko karna hai. So my first employee was already my employee for my ghar ka khana, was my first employee for Break of Dawn. And, you know, that part-time time. Like, you know, so I told her, 7 o'clock, 7.30, you finish this, you can chill for a bit. And we used to start at 10 in the night. 10, 11, 12, 1, whatever. So then that is, you know, from rinsing all the things, the sieves, washing everything, sterilizing everything, washing bottles, sterilizing bottles. It's a huge process. You know, then making the milk, filling the milk, cooling it, tagging it. I mean, and that tagging, my kids used to come if they're not asleep. Yeah. Or my husband would do. Of course, my husband was making the milk with me. So we were physically straining and making the milk was my husband and me. Yeah. She would do the cleaning part. Then slowly, you know, she started getting into the making part. Saying, didi, aap ek aur hum log kisi ko rakh lete hai. You know, main bana sakti hu, maine seekh liya abhi. I've seen you. So then she got into making the milk with me. I told my husband, you can take a break if you want. And he's like, no, I'm helping you. So he would continue. And I got another girl to do the washing. So that slowly I added. But at home now, you can't have like 5-6 people. It's a lot. And at night, nobody comes to work. Nobody wanted to work. So I think eventually at home, I had about 3 people.
Okay.
Apart from me for 4 years. Doing every single thing. And because I started the cheese right away in month 2. So the 4 years ka every single thing was done by the four of us.